Proverbs chapter 11, okay? We ended up 2 weeks ago with the lesson number 33 being the one, living life wisely is knowing when to keep my mouth shut. Amen? That's kind of a confrontational, in-your-face lesson, but it's a good one to learn in life. Amen? Living life wisely is learning when to keep my mouth shut. And it's not always easy. Even when you know you should, it's not always easy to do so, is it? But anyway, now chapter number 11, verse number 2, we've got lesson 34 this morning. The Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So we're looking here, for those of you that are visiting with us, we're looking here during our Sunday school class time at 100 lessons from the book of Proverbs called Living Life Wisely. Living life wisely, according to the book of Proverbs, okay? Number 34, living life wisely is the result of maintaining a humble spirit. It's the result of maintaining a humble spirit. Now, I want you to look at that verse again. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Living life wisely is the result of maintaining a humble spirit. You cannot teach a proud person. You can't do it. A proud spirit is not teachable, folks. It's not teachable, okay? And when you find somebody who's not teachable, you can trace that thing back to a prideful spirit, okay? A prideful spirit will not allow you to be taught. The only teachable person is one who has a humble spirit, and as a result of that, he is the person, she's the person, who gains wisdom. Look at what it says. With the lowly is wisdom. It takes a humble spirit to be taught. And with a humble spirit comes the gaining or learning of wisdom. Now, way back at the beginning of this lesson, this series, we learned one of our early lessons. We learned very early in this series that living wisely involves perpetual learning. So I never come to the place in my life, no matter how long I've been saved, no matter how many times I've read the Bible through, no matter how many scripture verses I can quote, I never reach the age of my life, in my spiritual life, where I know it all. The Apostle Paul made that very clear in Philippians chapter 3. I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived. Can I suggest to you and me that if the Apostle Paul hadn't arrived, you and I probably aren't getting there either. Okay? I mean, he penned 13 books of the New Testament. He was given such an abundance of revelations that God had to give him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that Brian preached about last week. Okay? So, you know, it involves perpetual learning. When we allow, now listen, when we allow a proud spirit to take root in our hearts, what we're essentially doing is closing the door to more wisdom. So when I let a proud spirit come into my heart, I'm closing the door to more wisdom because proud people cannot be taught. Proud people can't be taught. So if I get prideful, I'm shutting the door on wisdom. I'm a fool to do that. I am a fool to do that. Now, the word cometh in this verse right here is an interesting word, verse number 2. When pride cometh, it means to come and go. Pride comes and goes. Comes and goes. And that's true. You think about it. It's something you perpetually got to fight against. Okay? It comes and it goes. Now, in other words, I must keep a close watch on my spirit to make sure I don't develop a pride in any area of my life. You see, I might be teachable in one area, but in another area, I possess such a proud spirit that in that area, I'm not teachable. Let's take all the veneer off. Let's take all the polish off for just a minute. Let's be real honest with each other. All of us have areas which we believe, in our life, we believe we're pretty solid in those areas. That's true. If you were to ask me, Brother Angel, do you have some areas in your Christian life do you feel like you're solid in? I would say yes. And I don't think that's prideful. Okay? I think you've got some areas in your Christianity, in your life, where you are solid. Okay? Now, we recognize our deficiency in a certain area, but we are quite impressed with our sufficiency in other areas. You know, so an area where I feel I'm deficient, I'm willing to be taught. But in areas where I feel I'm sufficient, I got to be real careful that I still allow myself to be taught in those areas as well. Because I don't care, whatever area you're talking about in your Christian life, there's always room for improvement. Always room for improvement. Where I am deficient, I readily accept teaching, and I'll increase wisdom in that area. Where I am sufficient, if I don't watch it, I'll develop the attitude, nobody can help me. And it's my pride that makes it impossible for me to be taught. Okay? It's scary business. It's scary business to be strong in a certain area. There's nothing wrong with being strong in a certain area. Just don't get to the place where you're proud about it. Or you're proud of it. Okay? Because once you're proud of that, you've closed the door to wisdom. There's nothing more you can learn in that area as long as you're proud. Now, there are some areas of doctrinal belief that I should not be shaken in. I should be down, settled, have it all settled. I should be strong in the faith doctrinally. But when it comes to wisdom concerning my relationships with people, with my wife, my children, my staff, the people who work with me and for me, when it comes to my interpersonal relationships with church members, when it comes to things such as my personal character, my private character, there's always room for improvement. And when I develop a proud spirit, I shut the door to wisdom. The Bible says, with the lowly is wisdom. Dr. Jack Howell said something very smart, I think very wise, and when I was in Bible college, he taught us this. He said, all men know something I do not know. Hence, all men are my teachers. I like that. To me, that's wise. He said, all men know something I do not know. Hence, all men are my teachers. And you know what? I think he really believed that. I don't think he just said it. I think he really believed that. He was a lowly man. He was a humble man. Now, when you see him preach, he's authoritative because he's preaching the Word of God. But in his personal character, in his private character, he was humble. That kept the door for wisdom open to him in areas of his life. And the same will be true about me. If I develop a prideful spirit in any area of my life, I know all there is to know about rearing kids. I'm doomed. I know all there is to know about marriage. I'm doomed. You know? I know all there is to know about this certain area, or working with this type of thing. I know all there is to know. I have arrived. When I get to that place in my life, I have literally closed the door on any opportunity to gain any more learning or any more wisdom in that specific area of my life. I've shortchanged myself. Because the Bible says, with the lowly is wisdom. So living life wisely is the result of maintaining a humble spirit. Keep a humble spirit toward everything about your character, everything about your relationships in life, always looking for that one little thing that can literally enhance that relationship 100-fold. And they're out there, folks. Little bitty things. Little bitty principles. We call them little bitty. They're not little bitty. Okay? Important principles. A little nugget. Just a little bit of something that can open the door to 1,000-fold blessings in any area of my life. I've got to keep myself where I can be taught those things. Okay? I don't want to get so proud in my spirit that I am unteachable, because you cannot teach a proud person. You can't teach them. I've tried that in counseling sessions in the office. You can't teach a proud person. You can't get through to them. Okay? Because of this, what this verse is teaching right here. With the lowly is wisdom. All right, now drop down to verse 14. Let me get on to lesson 35 this morning. This was a little bit longer than lesson 34. Lesson 35 comes out of verse number 14. A familiar verse to you. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's a great verse right there. Okay? That's an important verse. Living life wisely is learning the value of counsel. Living life wisely is learning the value of counsel. Really, folks, this verse pretty well speaks for itself. Now, how many people have plunged into a decision without counsel, only to find out too late and after the fact, after the decision was made, that it was a foolish, foolish decision? And now what could have been easily avoided is something that must be difficultly endured. The truth of the matter is, I'd rather easily avoid it than have to endure it difficultly. Okay? All because of a lack of counsel. Now, the Bible says the wise person learns to seek counsel before any major decision especially. Listen very carefully. I am not like some pastors are really into this thing of counseling. I am not. Okay? I believe if you're faithful to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, there's a lot of counseling that takes place right there from that pulpit right there. A lot of counseling. Okay? Sometimes I've had people come in Tuesday after a sermon's on Sunday and have ask questions about things, and I just tell them, go in the office and tell them that you can order the tape free of charge. I won't charge you for it. Get the message I preached Sunday night. And if you'd have been here, you'd have heard it. Okay? I don't like counseling. Has taken more pastors and more ministries astray than almost any other thing in the ministry. I don't like it. I do it if I have to. But I'm not a counselor. I'm a preacher. Okay? So I'm not one of these that says, you need to run in here and you need to bounce everything you do off somebody and get counsel. Before you buy a car, decide what color it is and bounce that off of. Before you put carpet in your house and you're trying to decide what color you want, come see me. Don't come see me about the color of your carpet. Don't come see me about the color of the car you're going to buy. Okay? Don't come see me about that kind of stuff, folks. You know, don't come see me if you're going to about whether or not you should get a dog for a pet or, you know, all that stuff. Don't come see me about all that, okay? Don't bother me with that stuff. If you're concerned about what kind of carpet to put in your living room, talk to somebody who sells carpet. Okay? I don't know what kind of carpet to put in. Put a hardwood floor in. That's what I would tell you to do. Amen. Huh? Don't come see me about that stuff, okay? And I'm not one that expects people to come see me about that kind of stuff. You know, don't do that. On the other hand, I like to be available. I'm not the only wise person in this church. I'm not sure that I'm as... In fact, I feel about wisdom like I feel about everything else. God's given me maybe a measure of wisdom, but I'm not the wisest person in this church. I can be a soul winner. I have been a soul winner. I am a soul winner, but I'm not the best soul winner in this church. I'm not the best prayer warrior. I don't have to be. I have to be an example of all those things. Okay? And God's given me some wisdom just because I've lived for 49 years. It's because I've been married 26 and a half years. And I've had 6 kids, and now they're married. Some of them are married, you know. You learn a few things in life just by going down the road. Okay? So, a young family, a young couple, might want to get advice on the right time to buy a car. The right time to buy a house. Those kind of things. Major vocation changes. Okay? And that's what I want to be available for. I want to be available for some things for our young couples, especially when they need a little bit of wisdom. Maybe your dad has got all the wisdom that you'll ever need. And he probably does for situations like that. But if your dad is unsaved or your dad is gone, I don't mind stepping in. And if it's a good, honest question, okay? We're funny people. We want and we get the opinions of those we consider to be experts in the health industry about our physical well-being, and then we shoot from the hip when it comes to decisions about our future or the future of our families. That's foolish, folks. Don't do that. There is safety in counsel, okay? Minor decisions. Minor decisions. You ought to be willing to sit down with someone you trust and discuss minor decisions. What's a minor decision? Maybe a lateral or a higher job promotion within your own company. Okay? I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, if it's lateral or a higher promotion and it's more money and the hours are right and you don't have to work Sundays, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? You know. Now, if they say, you know what, we need you to travel 3 days a week. You got 2 or 3 little kids around the house? Maybe you better think about that. I better think about that a little bit. Well, about get some counsel, okay? But, so, you know, some things are kind of, you know, just common sense matters. If you move it, if you have a lateral or a higher job promotion within your company, it doesn't require a move out of the area, okay? That's pretty, you know, Pastor, what do you think? Job offered me this, it's more pay. You know, Daniel Thomason, you know, he gets the run he wants for more money and he's home every night. Should I take that job? You know, right, amen. And you did. He, you know, I mean, and he didn't need any counsel on that. That's common sense, okay? Perhaps a matter of wisdom concerning your children. perhaps an idea you have about starting a business. Okay? You know, anything new like that. Okay? I had a man come to me after a service some weeks ago, and it was about a question concerning his elementary school boy, and it was about an issue of a certain extracurricular type activity. The boy had been taking some type of music lessons, and he really wasn't taking to it, and you know, it wasn't that he didn't want to practice. He just wasn't taking to it. And, Pastor, should we force the issue? Should I force this on my boy? Should I force this on him? And we sat down and we talked back and forth the pros and cons of what he was thinking. You know, I don't know that I ever gave him a definitive answer, but just provided somebody for him to bounce some ideas off of and gave a little opinion and a little advice. And I think he went away helped. Okay? That type of thing. All right? It doesn't hurt to seek counsel, those type of things. Major decisions. I would definitely get counsel for major decisions. Okay? You know, I haven't been bothered by this for a long, long time. But some years back, the offer to move to another church came my way. And it was a larger church, an influential church. I think some of you know about that. You know, I've talked about it, you know. And they wanted me to come down there and be the pastor. I would never, ever try to come to a conclusion on that matter by myself. Never. I talked to Brother Brown out in Iowa. I trust him. He's 11 years my senior. Okay? Brother Brown, what do you think about this? All major decisions where you're talking about moving out of the area, moving your family, and I wouldn't even consider it. I wouldn't consider it until you first, not first the amount of money you make, not first the promotion, not first the perks. First, is there a church there? Is there a church there? Is there a church where I could take my wife and my children and myself and plop down in a pew and get something from the Word of God? Is there a church there? If there's not, I would not consider it. I just would not consider. You say, I don't care how much of a job promotion it is. I don't care how much of a financial matter improvement it is. If there's not a church there, shut her down, folks. Shut her down. You know, in major decisions, you may want to give somebody veto power. You may want to turn it over to somebody and say, look, I am afraid of this decision. Yes or no? I'm putting it in your hands. That's big. Okay? Pride gets involved in that. Okay? But major decisions, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Putting a parent in a nursing home. Boy, that's big time. You know, sincere, well-meaning people can put you on guilt trips you ought not have to take. And there may come a time, folks, when literally you can't do it at home. It may come a time. Hey, when your parent is laying there on life support and the doctor looks at you and says, it's up to you. And it's real easy to say, well, if that was me. Real easy to say when it's not your parent. But if it's your parent laying there, all of a sudden, you know, whoa. I'm the one that's going to give the choice to pull that plug and that my parent's going to. It don't hurt to get a little counsel, a little advice. Talk to somebody, okay? Some years ago, due to corporate shutdowns, a man in the church lost his job. They eliminated his position. And his position, his type of work, was he had the opportunity to go to different states. He had the opportunity to go out northwest. He had the opportunity to go out northeast. He came to see me about it. And I said, you know, God does move people. I am not one that believes that God never moves you, okay? But I think it needs to be with much counsel and prayer. And I said, well, brother, I would never tell you that God wouldn't move you. And he started asking about churches in this specific location and churches in this specific location. And I gave him names of churches. I don't know, I can't remember now if he went to visit there or not. But you know, he and his wife just decided, this is where we've been. God has blessed our home. God has blessed our children. And we're just going to let God provide something right here. If it gets a little thin, we'll just tough it out. He stayed. Now he has a wonderful job. He's doing fine. Okay? Counsel. Get counsel. Get counsel before you make a decision. Now, three big factors about this. Do not seek counsel if all you are looking for is commendation or approval. That's what happens a lot of times. People come in, their mind is already made up. They don't ask me what to do. They tell me what they're doing and want me to say, amen. Guess what? That's what I'm going to do. Come in and tell me what you're doing? Why should I say, no, you better not do that? If your mind's made up, it's settled, all you want me to do is put my blessing on it, hey, God bless you, brother, have at it. Okay? Because it's absolutely futile to say, I don't think you better do that. That's not what you come looking for. You come looking for commendation. Big factor number two, don't get counsel from your peers. Your age group. Don't get counsel from your age group. Go to your daddy. Go to some man in the church that you respect, look up to, that's 10, 11, 12, 15, 20 years your elder. Okay? Don't get it from your peers. You all familiar with the story of Rehoboam? Yeah, Rehoboam went to the older men. He said, if you'll do this, you'll have their hearts forever. He went to his peers, the younger men. They said, man, make it harder on them. He followed the advice of his peers, and he lost the kingdom. As I said earlier, there's something about being down the road of life, 15 or 20 years. You should automatically have some wisdom. Okay? So don't get counsel from your peers. Number three, let me say this. Don't wait too long when you're trying to make a decision. Here's what happens. If I'm trying to advise you, if anybody's trying to counsel you, if they're trying to counsel your head, that's doable. But if you've waited so long that your heart has gotten involved in it, now I don't have to just counsel your head. I got to counsel your head and your heart. And that's almost impossible. Does that make sense to you? If your heart, you know, when you first start thinking about this matter, that's what you're doing. You're thinking about it. But now you've let it go. 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And now not only your head is involved, now your heart's involved. Now your heart's involved. You get a job promotion, you get a job offer to move 500 miles away, 600 miles away, and there's, you know, a good possibility that they're going to offer you the job and there's going to be more income and all that. As soon as it starts turning around in your head, get some advice. Don't wait till your heart's already there. Because now whoever the counselor is has got to counsel not only your head but your heart too. That's extremely difficult. Okay? Extremely difficult for anybody who's trying to give you good advice, sound advice, to get you to change your mind if your heart's in it. Instead of just your head. You know, folks, that's a danger in life, is living by your heart, not your head. Okay? You let your heart rule, you're in trouble. Because the heart is deceitful and wicked above all else. You can't follow your heart. Huh? Follow your heart. If I followed my heart, every little stray dog I saw on the road, I'd bring to my house. Huh? I can't follow my heart. Your head, and there was a lady in the church out in Iowa. She was married to a Southern Baptist preacher. They had three daughters. Her husband and one of her daughters was involved in an automobile accident that got killed. So it's just her and her two daughters. And she's probably late 30s, early 40s at this point in time. And she starts dating this man that's not saved, but he's going to get saved. And he drinks, but he's going to quit. She was a pastor's wife. She knew better. She ended up marrying that man. He was abusive, and the thing ended up in divorce after about 8 months. You say, how in the world does that happen? How does an established woman of that age end up in a relationship like that? I'll tell you what it is. She follows her heart instead of her head. The heart overrules the head. Okay? If you get like that, you're in trouble. So if you need advice, you got to come while it's up here. Not down here. Because it's 10,000 times more difficult to get you to see truth if this is involved. Does that make sense to you all this morning? Y'all with me this morning, huh? in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Okay, we'll pick it up next week. Thanks for your attention.